My name is James Maganya, and my wife Sheila, as most of you, if not all of you, know. It's good to be here today, and thank you for having me. It's very intimidating to be here for a couple of reasons. One is that I'm preaching. The other is, the last time I was on this stage, I said I do. So this is very humbling, in more ways than one. Also, when Pastor John asked me to preach, he asked me if I would be available on May 14th. And knowing I needed the experience and he being so gracious as he is, I hesitated, but I accepted. And a couple of weeks later, my brother-in-law, the other pastor, Andrew Stahosky, told me, I noticed you're on the preaching calendar for Mother's Day. I said, no, I'm preaching. I'm not on Mother's Day, though, on May 14th. Well, happy Mother's Day. Let me explain a little bit. I'm from Texas. And I am Hispanic. My parents are from Mexico, and we've always kept the tradition. We celebrated Mother's Day on May 10th. So this past Wednesday, I called my mom, and I wished her a happy Mother's Day. So anyway, it's good to be here. Thank you for having us, for having me, and mothers, thank you. Today's Mother's Day. I'll call my mom today as well. She'll enjoy that. So I won't not call her. And although we grew up in Texas, my parents are from Mexico. My parents now live in the Austin area in Texas, which Sheila and I just, last July, moved here from Dallas. And so we've been here almost a year. And did you guys know that it snows here? It gets cold. It gets cold. Anyway, interestingly, my last name is Maganya. In Uganda, I learned two words, Muzungu, which means a foreigner or a white man, and Maganya, which means lamentation in Swahili. So if you leave today feeling any kind of lamentation, well, you can blame it on the pastor. on the preacher, sorry. So let's pray. Before we get started, let's pray. Father, thank you this morning that we have the opportunity to be here together, to worship you, to hear from you, to read your word, to fellowship, in edification, in hopes that we go and evangelize. We are edified and we do worship you, but there is people that are lost and that don't know you, and we pray that whatever it is that we learn today, that you help us understand and that it evokes our faith to change anything that you would have us change. Thank you, Father, for this time, for this opportunity, for our mothers, and for all the blessings that we have, for your word, for the church, for the Holy Spirit, and for the eternal perspective that we should have as we go through life and the trials, so that we are able to endure. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, did you notice that Pastor John and Andrew aren't here today? That's interesting. They were both very happy for me to preach. In view of Mother's Day, I want to encourage the mothers and all the ladies in here, regardless of what age or what stage that you may be in, that as we read this first passage, to notice all of the women in the passage that God used to influence and that were very formative in the life of Moses and the faith that he carried. This first passage in Exodus 1, if you'll turn there, it contains a story that familiarizes us with the background of our main passage in Hebrews 11. So as we go through the scriptures this morning as a whole, take into consideration the faith of these women and what a difference you can make as a mother, as a sister, as an aunt, as a daughter. Whatever it is that you can do instills in the people around you, whether they're older or they're younger, we're a testimony. And our faith is important. So think about that as we read through this. Now, if I were reading in the original language, most of you wouldn't understand Spanish, so I'll read it in English. Exodus chapter 1, verse 15, and I'll be reading to chapter 2, verse 20. Exodus chapter 1, verse 15 to verse 20. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew wives, one of whom was named Shiphrah and the other was named Puah. And he said, when you are helping the women to give the Hebrew women to give birth and see them upon the birth stool, if it is a son, then you shall put him to death. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt had commanded them, but let the boys live. So the king called for the midwives and said to them, why have you done this and let the boys live? The midwives said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are vigorous and give birth before the midwives can arrive to them. So God was good to the midwives, and the people multiplied and became very mighty. Because the midwives feared God, God established households for them. Then Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, every son born, you are to cast into the Nile, and every daughter you are to keep alive. So it seems like not only is this limited only to the Hebrew people, but now all his people, possibly the Egyptians, he was upset. Chapter 2. Now a man from the house of Levi, this is the beginning of Moses' story. Now a man from the house of Levi went and married a daughter of Levi. The woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was beautiful, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got him a wicker basket and covered it over with tar and pitch. Then she put the child into it and set it among the reeds by the Nile River. His sister stood at a distance to find out what would happen to him. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the Nile with her maidens walking alongside the Nile. And she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid, and she brought it to her. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, it was crying. And she had pity on him, and she said, this is one of the Hebrew children. There's women all over this place. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse this child for you? Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go ahead. So the girl went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages. So the woman took the child and nursed him. The child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh. to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she named him Moses and said, because I drew him out of the water. Now that's amazing. If I had to explain providence, God's control, his sovereign, he's got control and he's going to take care of us, that would be a story that I would use. Think about all of the women, his sister, his mother, the king's daughter. She knew the law that had just passed. She may have had sons. She may not have. Her maidens. And now, Pharaoh's mother, Moses' mother, gets paid to raise her own son by the very daughter whose dad put out the law to kill him. And the story just gets better. This morning, one of the things that we, as we go through this text, and as we study and look at Moses' life, we need to understand how crucial the response of faith is. We are people of faith. We are to live by faith. Therefore, we are to respond in faith. And in the text here, in chapter 11, as we ensue the a series of faith that Pastor John has started, this section, verses 23 through 29, give us a picture of how the response of faith is so crucial. And there's one thing that we will consistently see. And if there's anything else that you take away from this, take this away. That when God's people live by faith in God and in his promises, that the choices we make, we should not fear the outcome, because it is instilled and it is done by faith in him. So we do not need to fear whatever choices we make, what may become of what we have decided, if the decision is based on faith. And that's what we will see in this story. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 23 through 29. 11, 23 through 29. By faith, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, so that he who destroyed the firstborn would not touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea, as though they were passing through dry land. And the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. So, the first story in Exodus gives us the whole background, and we're here. In Acts chapter 7, in Stephen's testimony before the Sanhedrin, he talks about these very events and how God's people were taken out of Egypt. And he specifically says about Moses that he was a deliverer. And I think that in this first verse, we will see that. But the main thing we want to see first is faith. What is faith? And I don't mean to define faith rather than to just explain the differences of faith, because it is not the saving faith that Moses and his family are relying on. It's the sanctifying faith. Let me explain. Moses, he's most commonly known for the Ten Commandments and the law. In this passage, he's the main character. And as obvious as it may seem, we need to note that faith existed before the law was ever given to Moses. Moses wasn't even born yet. The law was given to Moses. And the law encompasses lots of things. But it's not in existence yet. We're talking about faith. Therefore, Moses was called by faith. He was given the law, and even then, he responded in faith to receive it. But before he did, he was called, and by faith, he responded. And it is only by faith in the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, that men then, today, and tomorrow, by faith, is the only way that we can come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, unto salvation for eternal life. Faith saves us unto God. However, the faith in this passage is not referring to the saving faith. When we believe in the Son of God, we're justified. That's a moment. It happens one time. And the moment that happens, sanctification begins. The working out of your salvation. And that doesn't mean you're working for your salvation. That means the process of sanctification, by faith, we have to daily trust that God is going to deliver us. Regardless of the circumstances and trials we're going through, on that day, every day, on a daily basis, this is the faith that this passage is talking about, the sanctifying faith. Dr. Constable describes this faith, distinguishes faith in three forms of faith. Faith which receives when as an empty-handed beggar, we come to Christ and accept him as our Lord and Savior. Salvation. But that's found in John 1:12. It says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, even those that believe in his name." So it is by belief. The second kind of faith is faith that reckons counting upon God to fulfill his promises and undertake for us the things that we cannot do. Trusting God, coupled with the second, with the third, is a faith that risks, which dares something for the Lord. We take risks and we dare something for the Lord. Moses' parents did that in this passage. Moses does that. And then a whole nation does that. This is the faith we're talking about. This is found in 2 Timothy 1:12. "For this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed in, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted him until that day." So from the day you believe, you can entrust him until that day you go to be with him. This is the faith of Moses. Abraham was called by faith, and it was counted unto him unto righteousness. He was old and almost in the casket. Moses was in a basket. So regardless of what age you are, at any point, the Lord can call you. And we respond by faith. And at the beginning here, his parents are the ones that are integral in his faith. This passage begins with Moses' birth being the factor that evoked his parents' faith into action. As it appeared to them that God's promise to Abraham was coming to fulfillment. When they saw their newly born baby, or even that they had them under the circumstances under which they were living in, it gave them hope that this could be the deliverer. Along with the possibility, a lot of the commentaries that I read stated that the fact that God spoke to the past, to men, by visions, by dreams, it's possible that they knew somehow that this baby would be the deliverer. Therefore, giving them the courage to act in defiance of the king. So they hid him. The current oppression that they were living under added with just the current morbid mandate that the king had put out to kill these children. It prompted a response. They had to act. There's something they had to do. And this courage led them to hide their child, to hide their baby. Not because he was beautiful, although he probably was, he was pleasant looking, but because of the promise. It's always by faith in God. Regardless of what we may ever attain, and regardless of what we may can come to accomplish, as beautiful as it may be, and as precious or as hard work as we may have put in, unless we have faith in God, when we lose that, then we've lost what we've worked for. But we will never lose God. That's why we need to set our sights. So this passage, the way it begins, is it starts with a family that acts in faith. And it goes to his son. And the progression is, the family acts in faith. The son, he reflects their faith, but it's his faith in God as well. And then it grows to a whole nation that at one point were as enslaved, now they get to depart. Verse 23. So by faith, when he was born, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Now, for a little bit more commentary, how is it able that we and the land we live in, as in they did, how can we justify breaking the law? We need to understand that reliance on God is not necessarily defiance of the law. We have to make a choice. So when we're pushed morally, and if it hasn't happened, it will, you're going to have to make a decision. Your response in faith is going to direct what's going to happen. And whatever you decide, remember that if it's by faith in God and his promises, you don't have to worry about the outcome. As a matter of fact, if you learn how James, what he tells us to do, is to learn to be spectators and kind of enjoy to see the outcome and see what God is going to work out. Easier said than done, but that's the goal. That's what our responses in faith do. In God, that whenever a king like this puts such a immoral law, there's no question. Moses' parents defied it. So they were acting, rather than acting in defiance, I would like to say that they were acting in reliance of God. Now the word beautiful, it occurs in the New Testament only twice, the way it's used. Here, and Stephen uses it in Acts chapter 7, verse 20. It says, it was at this time, he's referring to the time he was born, it was at this time that Moses was born, and he was lovely in the sight of God. So even God thought he was lovely. And he was nurtured for 3 months by his father and mother in his father's home. Now think about this. This is interesting. If I was writing the letter like Moses did, if I was writing about myself, I'd say I was beautiful too. How interesting it is that it works out that Moses gets to write about his own self. But there's a problem with that. Inspiration. He was only writing what the Holy Spirit told him to write. Now, imagine he had a grin on his face like I do now while he was writing that. But Acts, Luke wrote the same thing, that God said he was beautiful. So it wasn't Moses being arrogant. Matter of fact, through inspiration, he was probably surprised and felt a little, even more humbled that he was writing what he wrote, because he was receiving this from the Holy Spirit. So just some interesting things that come out as you go through the scriptures. Nevertheless, think about our times and that we're living in. There's all kinds of organizations that encourage killing babies, that encourage government, that is the sanctity of life is a big struggle for us now. It's not much different today than it was in Moses' time. Whenever Pharaoh found out that the Hebrew women, the midwives, did not do what he said to the sons of the Hebrews, it appears that he went ahead and told them to kill all the boys in all of Egypt. Sometimes the repercussions are worse, but it's faith. We have to go back to faith and rely on God, and we don't fear the outcome. It goes on to say that on the second part, he was beautiful, yes, but they didn't fear the Lord. Now, faith and fear, these two are very one in the same, but one leads to another, but you can't have one without the other. Faith, as we read earlier, is there's a saving faith, there's a sanctifying faith, but fear. In Proverbs 1:7, it says that the beginning of knowledge, or rather that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So if you keep in mind the fear that the ladies in Exodus had, when they had no fear, or rather, I'm sorry, when they feared the Lord, here it says that Moses' parents were not afraid. They didn't fear the king. So see, the fear was directed to the right places because of their view of God. And the Bible Knowledge Commentary explains that one cannot gain knowledge of spiritual things if he begins at the wrong point, which is refusing to fear the Lord. Fearing the Lord is to recognize God's character and respond by trusting him, worshiping him, obeying him, and serving him. So the true essence of knowledge is fear of the Lord. Apart from him, apart from God, a person is ignorant of spiritual things apart from this fear. But in light of Moses, his parents were justified in their decision to obey God's moral law than the king's immoral law. Hence, they did not fear the king's edict. Because in this regard, fear of the Lord gives way to faith in him. And lastly, in this passage, in this part, Moses' parents didn't know what was going to happen. I'd like to assume, but it would just be an assumption, that she knew, Moses' mother knew, that it might be possible that Pharaoh's daughter would be coming by. And instead of casting him into the Nile, she put him by the Nile. And she sent her daughter. And it all worked out. And she has him back. So how would you like for the king, for somebody to pay you to raise your own child? Isn't that great? So when she acted in faith and had the possibility of losing a child, she now gets her child returned to her with money. And she gets paid for it. That's the way faith works. Not all the time. Don't try that at home. Before we leave this section, the main thing, we don't know how long we're going to have our children in our home. Whatever it is that you can instill in them, whatever faith, whatever life, whatever you are showing them, whatever you can teach them, it is crucial. It is imperative. It is important. It is of paramount importance that we teach them the Word of God, that we teach them to live by faith, because they will, in turn, at some point, have to make some decisions, and they will have to choose. Am I going to choose the pressures and the trials of this world, or am I going to choose Christ? And it starts at the home. Now, admittedly, not all of us have the same background, and some of us don't have all of our parents at home. And then I actually talked to one of the commentaries. His name is Pastor John, before he left. And in talking to him, I was going over this particular first part. And I told him, you know, now that I realize it's Mother's Day, this is what I'm going to use. What do you think? He said, well, have you considered what men influenced Moses? I said, no, Pastor John, it's Mother's Day. No, I haven't considered that. But what an insight. We don't know what man. We don't know how long Moses was at home. Obviously, his dad had influence on him. But always remember, there's God. But God. So we have God to rely on. Lastly, the faith that Moses' parents displayed wasn't faith in Moses, wasn't faith in his beauty, wasn't faith that they were doing the right thing. It was faith in the promises of God. That's where we go to. Verse 24. There's a glare on the clock. I can't see it. I think I got about 35 more minutes. By faith, when he had grown up, verse 24. By faith, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of God greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. What started at home now goes to Moses. What his parents displayed, now he is personally displaying. This is his faith at work. But again, not faith in his parents, faith in God. Because he was confronted. He had to make a decision at the point. He was already gone from home. His mother had turned him in. Hey, by the way, have you ever thought about, it says here that when she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, she said, I named him Moses because I took him out of the river, because I drew him out of the waters. I wonder what his home name was. I wonder what his name, I don't know. Moshe is a Hebrew name. I don't know if it's an Egyptian name as well, but I'm just curious if Aaron and Miriam have those names. I mean, it's just interesting. Some of the things you think of is, as you go through the scriptures, I wonder what his name was. Nevertheless, he knew who he served. So Moses, in his faith, he chose to deny Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to deny her offer. He chose to deny to be associated with the Egyptians. The hand that fed him, saved him, kept him, instructed him, educated him, and probably heir to the throne, he rejected it. Now, admittedly, it may have been very hard for him to face Pharaoh's daughter. However that happened, I'm not sure. But he denied it because he was looking for it. He had an eternal perspective, and because he had a desire for his people through faith, he rejected. He denied being called her son. He accepted the higher call. Who will we choose? We have choices that we have to make every day. We are people of faith. And sometimes we have to make the decision if we're going to follow. Sometimes as simple as what to buy or what to do. But the overall picture is, how are we going to live? Who are we going to be associated with? Identification with Christ is crucial. And that's what Moses chose to do. He chose to be identified with the people of God. Not because necessarily that he was not to be associated with the Hebrew people because they were Hebrew. It was back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It was back to the promises. It was the reward. It was the future eternal perspective that he was picking. Not the temporal that he had in Egypt. Not the status. It probably repulsed him. Who knows? But what drew him and what gave him the courage to deny Pharaoh's daughter, to deny that son, that status as a son, was his faith. And he chose appropriately. Through Moses, God unraveled and progressed his plan of redemption. He was looking to the reward. So he considered the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. He, in his identification, he knew that it was important. But he knew that he was going to suffer. One commentator said that Moses esteemed reproach as the treasures. He esteemed the reproach of Christ as a treasure. That was his treasure. That's what he would live for. The Bible tells us that we're going to live in the face of persecution. Esteem it. Embrace it. It's encouraging, maybe even sometimes, to know that you're going through something like that, because God is identifying you as his son. Moses was amazing. The possibility of reward is the most frequently mentioned motivating factor of enduring in faith. The possibility of reward. And probably not the possibility, but the assurance of reward. We have a heavenly place that God went and prepared a place for us, that where he is, we may be also. And Moses was one of the main key factors in us being able to be here today. He had an assembly of people. And we can look back and thank him. We are an assembly of people. And we need to be a people of faith. So we need to learn to respond how they have responded. Very quickly, verse 27 and 28. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. Now, let me stop here real quick, because I had a big decision to make here. If we follow the text, and as we're going through the text, and we see that by faith he left Egypt, I automatically thought of the Exodus. And I went through and I studied, knowing that it was about the Exodus. And what happened was I read too much. And one of the last things I read was, this wasn't the Exodus. This is when he left the Midian. Like, what? Well, that doesn't make sense. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of God. Well, I read over and over, and I read different things, and I did it. But when I got to verse 28, the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible, not the commentaries. Look at verse 28. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, so that he who was destroyed was the firstborn would not touch them. Where did he first do the Passover? In Egypt. So that is what sold me on that. Verse 27, that by faith he left Egypt. He left Egypt. It was he ran from the king to Midian. And there's a lot of other stuff involved there. But just to say, he knew who he was. And his running was not fear of Pharaoh. Because in faith, we don't fear the king, remember? So how does that work? Very quickly, in a commentary, and I don't even know the person's name, I can explain it to you, or I can, well, it's Peter O'Brien, that's pretty easy. I thought it was another guy that was very hard to say. He says, it was not the personal fear of Pharaoh, but the awareness of his destiny as a deliverer of the covenant, of the covenanted people, that caused him to take flight. And so in a way, he was protecting himself. He used discretion. And I would, you know, give you, you know, we need to use discretion whenever we are making decisions. Not just in faith, everything we do, it's all going to work out and we don't have to fear it. But there is a time to run. There is a time to go. There is a time to act. And it may seem like as we're acting against the Lord, but by faith, we can also act in a way that seems like Moses was fearing the Lord, but he wasn't. He was protecting himself. And providentially, he goes to a place and meets a man that gives him all kinds of great godly advice. He gets married, and he has sons and daughters, and he comes back. And then he institutes the Passover in verse 28. So by him leaving, by faith when he left Egypt, fearing the wrath of the king, his life was at risk. And he saw the deliverance of Israel at risk. And so he took refuge in God and ran, trusting that God would, at his own time, bring him back or deliver the people. Just like Abraham took his son, trusting God that he would either resurrect him or give him another son. Sometimes the acts that we are asked to do may look like we're not trusting God, but it's the very thing that we're doing is why we trust God. Lastly, I'll just go ahead and jump to verse 29. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through dry land. And the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. So let me say, what started with a family at the very beginning, Amram, a Levite, in faith, went and married Jochebed, a Levite. His initial act was in faith. He followed the rules. They hid their son, acting in faith. His son denies the daughter of Pharaoh in that association. He acted in faith. Moses runs and deters death. He acted in faith. And what started with the family ends up influencing a whole nation many years later, and they act in faith, and they pass, and they go. So you never know that when a decision that you have to make, how many people, how long it will endure. So just remember as we go, that your response of faith in God and his promises when you make those decisions, you do not have to fear the outcome. And just one last time, one last thing. It is one of the biggest backfires that I, to this point, I'm just starting. And thank you for being here. Thank you, Mother, for everything. But one of the biggest backfires that I've seen is Pharaoh. He made a law. He said, kill the children. And the very one that was supposed to die lives in his house, rejects him, runs across the river, and drowns his army. Now, if that's not a backfire, but God is doing even other things. The God of Egypt is Marduk, and he's the God of water. Go figure. Father, thank you this morning for the word, for the time, for your son, for your promises. Help us in our responses to act in faith so that as testimonies to you and for the sake of Christ, we also can endure through the trials and persecutions we go through. Thank you for Moses and his testimony. And thank you for our mothers. Thank you for all the ladies in our lives. Thank you for their influence. Thank you for the life they've given us. But we thank you, ultimately, for the life you've given them and us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.